Welcome to the Getting Real with Hillary Show. Inspiring stories that change lives. Where ordinary heroes tell their extraordinary stories of how they have triumphed over unexpected challenges. This is where we say what can't be said and use the AAA formula for freedom. Awareness, acceptance, and action. Now, here's your host, Hillary Burns.
Hey everyone, I'm Hillary, and oh my God, I'm already crying. So this is a dream come true for me to have my own show, and today is the first live broadcast, and I am thrilled to be here with Bobby Collins. And I've already told him that we're going to be saying what we normally don't say, and looking at, you know, where maybe he's been stuck in his life. I know he has an unbelievable life, and I can't wait for him to share his story with you. But we use the AAA formula for freedom, which is acceptance. Oops, I already forgot it. Awareness, acceptance, and action.
That's okay.
And there we go. First blooper. So welcome, Bobby. It's so great to have you here.
Hillary, thanks for having me, sweetheart. And don't worry about your bloopers and this and that. Life's like that. But we turn around, we get up, and we keep going.
That's right. So for anyone who doesn't know, Bobby is a world-famous comedian who makes his living doing comedy, which I know, you know, a lot of people would love to do that. And Bobby, how's it been? Have you ever thought of quitting? Was it ever difficult? I'm sure it was just a breeze for you, right?
You know, excuse me, it's something that I need in my life. It's something that supplies me with the energy and the love and the compassion that I have. It brings it out of me because I don't know how to handle other things very well. You know, I don't. And I mean, I handle them and I do okay. But standing on a stage and making people laugh gives me what I really need in my heart.
Wow, that's amazing. And I know I did read your book. I got it here and it's called On the Inside. And I know you knew at a pretty young age that this is what you wanted to do, right? Can you tell us a little about that?
Well, I grew up in the Queens, New York, a suburb of New York City. And we were poor. We were poor kids. And my father would leave at 7 a.m. and we wouldn't see him till 7 p.m, trains, this and that. My mother was a waitress and she was, you know, she'd bring home like a half a sandwich that wasn't eaten. And that was something that we ate. And it was something, it was a world that I was like, is this what it's like out there? Is this what it's going to be like? And then we moved to Long Island, New Hyde Park, Long Island. And I was a shy kind of heavy set kid, not big heavy, but shy. And I was like, understanding and looking and seeing. And I used to sit on a subway when I was in the city in Queens going to school, and I'd look at other people and I'd say, why are they putting on something that they're not? Because you got to see what people were really like. You were taught, we were taught inside, I was, to look inside people rather than act. And it told me and it helps me, because if I'm ever on a stage and if I ever want to talk to people in an audience in a big theater, I know which ones to talk to because you could see right through.
Now, do you think, is that something, I mean, you talked about that in the book. Is that like a special gift that you have? Do you think everybody can do that? I mean, it seems like, maybe I'm misinterpreting, but that you could tell the phonies from the real people. Is that what you're saying or is it something else?
Yes. Yes. But it wasn't not only phonies. You saw people who were real people, but they were hiding their own insecurities and they haven't dealt with them. And I saw that that made me take a look at mine. Hmm. And I was like, ooh, look at this. I was, when I got to New Hyde Park, I was a shy kid. And I remember being close friends with a guy and he was very shy and quiet and introverted, but we were smart kids and we would talk. And I would look and see the popular kids. And I'd look at them and I'm saying, oh, they're having so much fun. They're so fun. They're this and they do well in school. I want to be like that. And I started to use humor, comedy, and I made them laugh. And of course, girls love to laugh. And I wasn't a bad looking guy, and girls like guys. So it helped me in so many ways. And I remember that guy particularly saying to me, well, then you go ahead, because I'm not. Because I go, but I'm going to go off. I want to be more known. I want to be. And it's funny because I've never heard from him again, but I remember passing him after I got very, I was ended up getting president of the high school, voted president. And I achieved, I didn't know if that was my achievement, what I wanted, but at the time it was something that it meant a lot to me.
Wow. And were you doing comedy then, or you were just making people laugh?
Like, no, I was just making people laugh, fooling around, laughing, you know, with the students at the teacher, at the teacher, at each other, but not in a harmful, negative way, in a way that everyone could enjoy it and look and laugh together. And they all wanted to be your friend. And that was nice.
Wow. But you weren't the class clown. You were just funny.
Right. I was funny. Matter of fact, a lot of the old kids from high school, they try to get in touch with me through these classmates.com. I don't know. And they all said, Bobby, you were hysterical in school. You were so much fun to hang out with. You played on the basketball team. You were president. Oh, that makes me feel so good for the kid that was shy and insecure about himself. And I'm like, if I can do it, everyone can do it. Anyone can do it. Just take a look at those things about yourself. And I saw a lot of it in other people, which made me take a look at myself. That was the thing that really changed me.
Wow. So from shy kid to president of your high school, that's amazing, right?
Yeah. Yeah, I think it was. I never looked at it at the time as anything. But when I look back now, I was like, oh. And then I remember being so young in Queens, New York, in the grammar school or something. And the teacher said, all right, we're going to write a composition on what are you going to be when you grow up? And I raised my hand and she said, Bobby. And I said, how do you spell comedian? And she said, and she told me, C-O-M-E, you know, and I wrote it down. And other people, lawyer, doctor, you know, but it was blue, you know, blue class area. They, you know, I want to work at this. I want to work at a steel factory. I want to work at this. But I wanted to be a comedian.
So you did know from young.
Yeah. And I remember once asking, I put it in the book. I asked my mom, I said, Mom, why'd you name me Bobby? She goes, oh, she's doing the dishes. She just threw it out there. She goes, because your father really liked Bob Hope.
Oh.
And a comedian. Isn't
that wild? That's amazing, right?
Yeah. And my whole life, I was talking to a comic last night. We went and played some basketball here because it's still warm in New York. And we were talking and he said, somebody had asked him, you do this for a living or do you just do it just to get up to make yourself fit? He goes, I've been doing it 38 years for a living, you know? It's fun.
Yeah. Well, so, okay. So you were the high school president and then you went to college.
Yeah.
What did you go for again?
I went to the University of Buffalo for, first I went to Sullivan County Community College because we had no money.
Right.
And I went there and then the guy even looked at me, one of the professors, and he said to me, what are you doing here? I go, what do you mean? He goes, you should be at and he said, I went to the University of Buffalo. He did. And he wrote him a note. And he said, you should have this guy. And I left there. And the next year, I went right up to the University of Buffalo.
Wow. And,
yeah. And I took U.S. U.S. history, foreign policy. And I ended up getting a degree in it only because I did well, very well.
Uh-huh.
And I stayed up there and I taught for 1 year as a history teacher in high school.
Wow.
Yeah. But I didn't like it. But what it did, you'll get a kick out of this, Hillary. What it did was you have 30 students there. And now they're asking me and I'm rolling up my pants, legs. I'm going, your fathers wore pants like this. They were called knickers. And I show them and they were cracking up and they did this and that. And I showed them all these things and they were cracking. And that's the first time I really got in front of an audience because I used them.
So you use them for your comedy.
I did.
As a teacher.
It really worked.
So why didn't you stay longer? Why did you leave after a year?
Well, it didn't pay very well. And I wanted to get out there in the world and, you know, spend for myself. And then I eventually came back to New York and moved into Manhattan. And I was working for Calvin Klein.
Now, was that when you were with Garmento?
Yes, I was a Garmento.
And what did you do for Calvin Klein?
Oh, I was selling. You'll get a kick out of that. I don't tell this story much. A friend of mine worked on the Diamond Exchange here on 44th Street. And I went to him and he said, Bobby, there's this girl that comes in here and she takes all our jewelry and she takes it and she puts it in these cases, these black cases on those black velvet, makes it look nice. And she goes to different businesses and sells it. She goes there and sets it up. She goes, he said, you'd be really good at that with your personality. And the first thing somebody told me is, why go to a business? Go to the garment center. They compete with each other. Even and all the, and I did. I went to Calvin Klein. I went to everywhere. All those. And they, Bobby, the jewelry guy's here. He's setting up in showroom number two. And they'd all come in and buy things because that was the time. Remember when all the girls wore three necklaces? And
So you were selling jewelry for them. I see.
And then one day, I was selling it for me, but I would pay them for it. So it was my own, and I was making very good money. And then one day I was at Calvin Klein and the president called me in and I thought he was going to tell me, you can't come in here anymore. He goes, listen, he sat down and he said, hey, everyone here seems to love you. You come in, you're personable. I go, and you got some pretty girls at work. You know what I mean? And he said, well, I sit down. I'd like to offer you a job. And I was like, oh, to work in the garment center? Oh, I'd rather put a needle in my eye. And I ended up, he sat there and he wrote down a figure. I was making maybe that time, this is 30 something years ago. I was making maybe $38,000, $40,000. And that was good. Because most kids out of college were making like 25. And he offered me 60, over 60. And I said, I'll do it. He goes, when can you start? I go, this was Thursday. I go, how about Monday? I turned on my jewelry and I started the garments.
Wow. And then what were you selling for him? Oh, the same jewelry or clothes?
All the clothing. Everything in Calvin Klein's clothes. Nothing comes between you and your Calvin. Remember that?
Brooke Shields. Yeah.
And I learned so much. I mean, I didn't do it long, but I would say to all the buyers that came in from out of town, I said, what are you guys doing? Because they were shy and scared of the city. They'd go to their hotels, 8 of them, 10 of them, you know, all different stores, Macy's, this from San Francisco, this one. And I'd say to them, what do you guys do at night? And they go, we write up our orders. I go, oh, because I do stand-up comedy at a place called Catch a Rising Star. If you want to start, they would jam because they had nothing to do. They were scared. They, at least they felt as if they knew this guy.
Yeah.
And they would. My orders were huge. And then they called me in after 6 months and they said, hey, Bobby, sit down. I thought, I don't know, what's this? He goes, we want to offer you the vice presidency. And I said, you have 6 of them already. And they go, I go, does it pay more? He goes, yeah, a lot more. I go, then you can call me governor. And I became the vice president. I only did it for another 3 or 4 months after that because my career was taken off.
Wow. So you had already started doing your comedy at night while you were doing all these jobs.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. That was my focus.
And when did you start that? As soon as you got back to New York?
Yes, full time. I was hitting all the clubs in New York just to get up.
Wow.
It's funny I'm saying that. I do about 39, 49 theaters a year, but I'll give you an example. Last week I didn't have a theater and I'm out in California, so I ran to 2 clubs like we used to do and stuff just to get up to keep everything moving.
And they just say, come on in?
Oh, I walk in and they go, Bobby, would you like to go up? I go, yeah, thanks. Or here in New York, the Comedy Cellar. Or here in California, you know, Hermosa Comedy and Magic Club. Those are the best clubs in the cities.
Now, pardon my ignorance, but if you just show up and go up, do they pay you or you're just there to practice?
I'm there to practice. If they let me, they offer you money, but I usually don't take it. But if I sign up, I remember when I first started doing it in New York, they give you $15. Now clubs get $50 and $100, $150. Different clubs.
Wow.
Because you got a name.
So how, like, again, pardon my ignorance, but how do you make money doing that? Like, how do you know you have to have a certain number of gigs? You got agents. Like, it's not a salary, you know, it's right. not an hourly, it's not sale, or maybe it is like sales. It's like sales, right?
It is. And you've mastered it. And I've been through about, excuse me, Hillary, I've been through about three or four agents because I know business and I've right. learned that. So I know when some of them are just like, for example, I got a call from one guy and they asked me, I worked at some place and he said to me, hey, we've been trying to get you for about 6-8 months. And I go, you're kidding. And he goes, yeah. And we called your agent and I go, how much did you offer? And he'd say like 6,000-7,000. And I said, really? On a Tuesday night? And that never came back to me because the agents want to make 10. So they collect more money. So after I heard that a few times from different places, I dropped that agent and moved on to another one, and or eventually did it myself. And wow. then when you got popular, people wanted you. So my phone constantly, thank God, still rings a lot.
So can they call you directly?
They can go to my website and there's people now that I'm using that are independent. And they can call them directly.
Right. Okay.
But I do take some calls from theaters still to this day.
So that was what, 38 years ago and you're still doing it?
Yeah.
Does it ever get old?
The traveling does, but standing on a stage, like I hadn't been on a stage in about 3 weeks in a theater. And I had a theater this past Saturday night. And I was even a little, I work on this and that new material. I'm working on getting older and I got to pee a lot. How many, you look at the guy in the audience, how many times you pee? Five. I'm peeing right now. And you go off and you go into an age thing. You know, you start doing, I go, remember when we were young, I go, pee feels, especially on the East Coast. Maybe you'll remember. Remember 7 minutes in heaven when you were a kid?
What was that?
That was when like a friend of yours, mother and father went out for the night or went away for the night and we're 12 and 13. He'd have a party and everyone would go over there, girls and guys. And we're young kids. And you'd go into a room with a girl for 7 minutes.
Oh,
and it was called 7 minutes. So, and when the guy came out, we're kids. I'd look at him and I'd say, did you get some tongue? Huh? Did you get under the bra? Did she touch you? Did she? And now what we're doing now, you know, how is your hip operation? How is the shoulder replacement?
Right.
How's the knee working out? Look at us. See how growth means change. Change doesn't always mean growth.
Right.
Excuse me.
I remember hearing that about reunions each 10 years.
Right.
First, it's your roommate in college. And then it's, you know, what is your work? By the time you're older, it's like, what hurts you?
right. Huh? Huh?
It's crazy. Wow. So, okay. So let's see. Do you ever have thoughts that tell you, like, you're in the middle of a set or whatever, and you're going, what am I doing? Like, do your thoughts ever try to get you out of this or scare you or something? And how do you combat that?
They come before and after a show.
Okay.
Because my wife even tells me I'm a perfectionist, you know? In other words, I hadn't performed, so I'm going through things in my head and I'll call her. I go, what line did I use about the catheter? She goes, you said catheter. And she goes, oh. I go, I'm getting older. I'm forgetting. And I'll get nervous. But once I stood on the stage, it's almost like you have lined up. Oh, I should go in this direction because this audience is a little bit uptight or this audience is political. Oh, my God. Now we have to, let's go into the political material, but let's do it where you show both sides because there's such a division now. It's foolishness. We were brought up freedom of speech. We all have different opinions. Listen to that guy's opinion. And you go, oh, wow. you listen and say, why do you think that he would, or why would he? And then you listen and you go, oh, this guy just doesn't see the bigger picture. I'm not going to put him down, but you got to let people know. Sometimes I'll look in an audience and I'll say, you know, when you're dead, you don't know you're dead. Other people feel the pain. Same thing when you're stupid. You got to let them know. You got to let them know.
So do you you have a certain thing you're going to say and then you look out? I know you said you can read the audience. So now if you think someone's stupid, are you going to what are you going to do about it? You're not going to call them stupid, but
I'm going to show them how he can educate himself. Showing more. Show both sides. I'll say, look what's happening in our world now. Ukraine. Come on. We never heard that. We'd say, oh, I have that on my leg. The doctor said I got a Ukraine. We don't know. Ukraine's part of New Jersey. We don't know that. So you got Ukraine. You got politics. You got gun control. You got abortion. Everything's to split. Why? Look why, we say to ourselves. I mean, I think it's all positive but this is the crumbling that's going on between. Why? You had a black president for 8 years. So everybody that's sitting back, and I've traveled everywhere, they're sitting back. They go, now that Obama's out, the old guy's in, you know, it's Biden. Yeah, put him by the fireplace. He's 79. Yeah, give me a muffin. Right. Hey, Joe, I'm over here. Marco, you know, you show that to make them laugh about it. But then you also show, can we do better than this? Donald Trump, let me see, 3 wives. Two impeachments, an insurrection, and 4 bankruptcies. I grew up in the streets of New York. That equals loser. See what I mean? You got to show people through humor.
So you do big picture. So you do both sides, so you don't get in trouble. Is that why?
Well, I don't mind getting in trouble, but if somebody, you know, somebody'll scream out something, and you know, real ignorant person, classy people don't. You know, whether they're right, left, this, that. But if you get a real dope, you know, you just look at him. I had somebody in an audience in a big theater. It was about 1,200 seats right in the middle. All right, that's it, Bobby. I'm out. I don't want to. And everyone's looking at him and he's going through the seats to get out and leave. And as he's leaving, I looked at the audience. I'm going, ignorance can be educated. Crazy can be medicated. There's no excuse for stupid. They all applauded and we continued.
Wow.
And or I'll say, we're sharing the planet with a lot of different types of people now. We got to start thinning out the herd. The gene pool could use some chlorine. You got to remember, you and I both know this, you know, as far as education, 37% of the people in the United States are college educated. That's it.
Wow.
And the other people that are working in jobs in the South and this and that, they see an immigration. They're seeing these guys coming from other countries. They're going to take my job. If you're worried about them taking your job, you ought to change your job, you know, or you better do better for yourself. They're scared. So when people get scared, what do? They get violent. They get they march. It's all happening. I grew up in New York. We were all multiracial, playing kids as basketball. You know, black, white, Puerto Rican, Chinese, you know. And I remember how the cops used to treat us. They used to treat us terrible. You know, whack us, smack us around, right? So then you see this, the Floyd thing with a knee on the head. And you're going, oh, yeah, look at this. And people are getting upset. But it's changing. It's all changing. Thank God. I never thought it would change there in our lifetime. But thank God it is.
How do you see it changing?
I think just the whole thing, like, all right, fact question of abortion, take that. It's been around for so long. My wife's Italian from Italy, hairy woman, hairy. But but we vacuum a lot, Hillary. People think we have cats. No, she's not here, thank God. But
does she know you say that?
Of course she does. But I got to tell you, you try to tell an Italian woman, even though they're Catholic religion and this, you try to tell them what they can do, a woman to do with their own bodies. Are you out of your mind? You do see what I mean? And
yeah.
You got to educate people. They got to see the bigger picture. You know, gun control. It's all happening. Prejudice, racism. But it's going to be better. It is going to be better. They're all Republican. Bobby, are you Republican or are you Democrat? I'm neither. I'm literate. You got to tell the truth.
Yes. Now, do you think that's what you do with your comedy, is you educate? Well, I know you make people laugh, but do you think you also educate people in a certain way?
Yes.
And how to think?
That's why they keep coming back. That's why they bring friends of theirs. You got to see this guy. You got to see him. He was the host of VH1 Stand-Up Spotlight. He's done a bunch of work. But you got to see how he talks about this, that. And then I'll go into some fun stuff, but then I'll go back, you know? Politics. Let's break it down. What's a poly? An expensive trained bird that repeats everything you say. What's a tick? It's a blood-sucking insect. People, pay your taxes. Stay low. You know, these people work for us. Remember the Constitution? We the people, for the people. We pay their salaries, right? Every time I've met more politicians, you shake their hand, you want to clean yourself with a chicken. And you give examples. We had a guy in New York. He took 13 pictures of his penis and sent them to 13 young girls. And his name was Wiener. Remember?
Yeah.
We had a guy that was, I think, a governor.
Can't make it up, right?
Elliot Spitzer. Spent $72,000 of our taxpayer money on hookers. Now he's got a new law firm, Spitzer Swallow and Cum. No, I'm not just... That was just sitting there, Hillary.
Stop. I know. I saw that in the book. I like that. Yeah. Wow.
But I have fun. And if I'm communicating in the audience, they're applauding. And at the end, they're standing up. You did your job. And I wrote a new book. And that one did great. The first one, this one's doing really good. So I feel as if I'm doing something right and getting a message across from inside. Do I get uptight? Do I get worrisome? Yeah, I got a special needs kid. My wife gave up her whole business to be home with her for 2 years. And so she's got special needs kids always over the house with their aides. And oh my God, my head when I'm home, it's closed up. The words, the comedy's not coming in. Do I get anxiety? Yes. Do I get, but you got to see it all. Turn the television off. Remember when we were kids, the news was on at 6 o'clock. If you missed it, fuck it. See you tomorrow. Now, 24 hours a day. 24 hours a day. You know, MSNBC, Fox News. Stop it. It's scaring people.
Yes, that's what I think. I don't watch TV and I don't watch the news because I'm already negative. I'm already paranoid and anxious. So I need to watch more on TV to get crazier.
No. You're doing the right thing. If anything, be the example. Go out and be kind and friendly. I see mean people screaming at each other in stores. Right? Oh, God. Set the example. I was in Whole Foods here in New York yesterday. I picked up some things. I went to the online. I'm standing there. Guy in front of me, nice guy. I said, sir, number 5. They said you can go over to number 5. And he looked at me with a mean look. I go, 5. And he went, right? And then the next thing you know, I'm standing there. And all of a sudden, the lady cuts in front of me. And I was next. And I normally would have said friendly, hey, the line starts back there, lady. Take a look. But she was, you could tell from her face, again, reading people. She was uptight. She was angry with life. Well, I don't know what was going on. It wasn't my business. I didn't want to go further. And I just said, excuse me. You might want to go over to that line because they'll take you immediately. And she goes, don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me. And I went like this. You're right. You're right. You go wherever you want to go. Normally the kid from New York would have said, shut up. You shut your fucking. But I did. See what I mean?
Yeah.
You raise. Go high. Go high. Because a lot of people are going low now.
Yes.
And you learn things from it. And you get material. You know, and you talk about it on the stage because everyone's seeing it.
Right. Well, that's what I was going to ask you. Like, I know some comment, and I don't know if we should go to a commercial, Doug, but we'll keep going till we do. Okay. So some people, Oh, he says yes. Okay, go ahead. And then we'll come back. How's that?
Okay.
Are you inspired? Are you living a life story you are proud to tell? Are you actively pursuing and creating the life of your dreams? If not, you really need Hillary's AAA program for freedom. Just visit gettingrealwithhillary.com and schedule time with Hillary today.
All right, we're back. So I think we were talking about Whole Foods. No, I know what I was going to ask. Some comedians, they rehearse and they rehearse and they rehearse until they get it right. It seems like you can improvise, like based on what's going on, right? Or
yes.
The Whole
yes.
Foods lady. I know. I think when Helene was giving me your clips, and the first one I saw was from, I don't know if it was the 70s when everyone had the hair, you had the hair, and the people in the audience, they had like that Breakfast Club hair, you know, the girls and the, and you were talking about real stuff, but I was going, is someone getting insulted or maybe it was like a big girl or something. And I'm like, I don't know if you can say that stuff now, and maybe you can get away with it because you're a wonderful guy. But that's what I was worried about. Like, oh, what about politically correct and all that? I don't think back then you had to worry about it. But now it seems like people are kind of waiting to get offended. So how do you deal with that?
They're looking for it. They're looking for it. And it's basically the younger ones. You know, I cancel culture. Forget about it. Are you out of your mind? You know, they. When we were kids, we had one gay friend in our neighborhood. We'd protect him, and we'd also protect a special needs kid that everyone, my mother even said to me, she goes, his name was Julius, and he was retarded. That's the term we used. And my mother said, if people make fun of him, and they did, well, yeah, he's a retard, leave him alone, he's a retard, protect him and look after him. And we all did. And we'd make whoever said that apologize, you know, say you're sorry. And that's how we learned that you don't make fun of special people. You help compassion, dignity, love, companionship. You be the example, do the right thing. And you take that with you through life, whatever job you do, whatever you. And then now it's, I remember when our friend Harry was gay, but we didn't call him gay that day. They called him queer. Remember that?
Right.
He was queer. Then he became a fag. Then he became a faggot. Then he became gay. Then it's become LGBTQ. Then it's the they. I was out in the streets in New York last night, and I saw more men wearing dresses than I've ever in my life. You know, and they're all dressed nice. Like, who cares what you are? If you're in love with somebody, a boy, a girl, like this, a goat, just as long as you're happy. And who cares? Who's going to make, you know what I mean? If you're in love, if you're happy, if you're together, who am I to say, oh, look at those people. Stop it. We're bigger than that. And you have to let an audience know that. And you have to do it in such a way that your information that you give them is humorous. You give them an example of what you do or what you see. Oh, I saw all these women, guys with dresses on. I got to tell you. It made me question my own sexuality because some of them, you take, hold up a mirror, look in, see your things about yourself and relate it.
Right. Yeah. Well, it sounds like you were raised very well to be a good guy. I know in your book, you talk about, like you just said, doing the right thing. And I think, I don't know if that's missing these days with, you know, I don't mean to be an old fogey, but with young kids, do you see them doing the right thing? Do you see people with a conscience? I don't know. I'm wondering that myself.
You're right. I think technology is telling them everything, what to do, what to say, how to say it, what to buy, when to buy it. It's all about money. But they don't see that. The information that they're getting, they're being programmed. They're being used in such a way that they think it's freedom. It's this is that. Oh, that. How could people say that? Oh, you can't do that. No, turn the television, turn the phone off. They walk in the streets. They got those ear tampons on and they talk loud. They go, well, I don't know. I go, what don't you know? They're unbelievable. Turn it off. I go to restaurants, Hillary. I see parents sitting with the kids. Even the parents are on the cell phone. Are you out of your mind? I meet people and I said, hey, where did you meet the guy? Well, it's not working out. I go, where'd you meet him? Oh, online. I go, you met a guy online? What, Bumble, Tinder, Hump Me, Dump Me, whatever they call it. I got to tell you, we used to go into a bar. You met a girl, you danced, you looked right into her eyes, you went, nut job, I'm out of here. You know what I mean? Or, oh, wow, this girl's special. Or, wow, let me see where this one goes. And then, you know, you had to see them. You had to look into their eyes and you knew. You know that.
Right. But now, where do you go?
They go online.
Because if you go to a bar, what do you meet there? I mean, you know, it's a question.
I know a guy that he got a new wife. He got her on Amazon. Free delivery. He's a Prime member. I'm just pulling around.
I heard about those mail order brides. I did. Yeah. I think they're real. I do.
Yeah, there'd be a line in front of your house.
Thanks. There they are. Hi. Be right. I'll be done soon. Just take a number. Take a number. Yes.
See? Good girl.
Yes. All right. So let's see. What are my questions? All right. What was your toughest moment, do you think?
I think dealing with, I've always had my head free. And as a result of it, things came in. This pandemic, remember we all thought, oh, remember when it first started? It'll be a month
couple and a half. Yeah.
Don't touch your nose. Don't touch your mouth. I was peeing with my elbow. And this whole thing. And I made fun of it. And I laughed about it. You know, oh, I went into one store. Sir, you can't come in. We got to take your temperature. I went into another store. I got a colonoscopy. I went into another. You know, you make fun. You have fun with it. But then it lasted. And when you have a special needs, when God gives you an angel with a clipped wing, it's an honor. And I said, wow, you start questioning things. Why did God give me Madison, my daughter? I go, maybe I could have been one of those guys that ran out and this and cheated and ran and this. Maybe, but she held me down. She held me together. She needs a lot of help. My wife gave up her Pilates business. She had a whole studio to be with her. And I'm going, has it been tense? Yes. It's been rough in the house? Yes. Do I love my wife? Yes. Do I love my daughter more than ever? But that was probably the toughest. This was and I'm coming out of it now because comedy raised me. It got me out. But I still see people. Now that made me recognizing people that they still haven't come out of it. They're still angry or they're using things like money to guide their money. Everything's about money. And I look at them, I go, when you die, you can't spend it. You know, stop with the money. This one's wealthy. This one, hey, it comes from the heart. If your heart's in the right place, your wallet's full. Grow up, learn the lessons. So that was the toughest.
So being home, you mean?
Being home a lot. And, you know, if I normally got up at 8:30, the housekeeper, or 9:30, you're, the housekeeper would get there by 8. Now, because of traffic, she's not there till 8:30. So I'm up at 7:30 walking the dog. And then my wife, I'm over there sitting. My wife made my daughter, Madison, her breakfast. So I'm sitting there with it. If I pick up the new, Bobby, put the paper down. Sit with your daughter and make sure she.
Yeah.
Things that I've never, you know what I mean? And it was rough. It's been rough, but. You learn to see it, you move away, and you look at the whole picture and you go, I've got through so many things in my life. This is, come on. The cream rises to the top. Shit floats for a while and it sinks. I've always been the cream. Sometimes it's tough.
Yes, it made me have a visual. When do you know it's going to sink?
It won't. God first, family second, career third. Put one ahead of the other. You always get back on where you got off.
Right.
And I've had some tough times in life when, God, I fell off a mountain once. I fell off a mountain and just everyone thought I died. You know, I went up to, what is that, Cadillac Mountain up in Maine. And I jumped over the fence and I wanted to take a picture. And I got, for whatever reason, dizzy, fell down, went 200 feet down, banged as soon as I fell, knocked out. Everyone thought he died because two people had died the year before. They fell off. Next thing you know, I'm in an ambulance. They flew me out. My wife's sitting there. And all of a sudden, I open up my eyes. I see my grandmother, Nanny, who was the closest to me growing up. And she had died years ago. And she looked at me and I said, Nanny. And she gave me a big hug. And she looked at me and she said, Bobby, you have to go back. I said, no, I don't want to go back. I want to be here with you, Matt. Nanny, and she goes, no, you got to go. You have a lot more to do. And she started to fade away. I go, Nanny, I woke up. I opened my real eyes in the helicopter taking me to a hospital. And my wife's literally leaning over me. Bobby, Bobby, Bobby. I looked up. I said, I just saw Nanny. She goes, tell Nanny to go away. I go, can't talk that way to Nanny. And she goes, but see what I mean? That's why I know it's bigger than us.
Wow.
Yeah. Life is strange.
So you really saw her and she really said you have to go back?
Oh, yeah. Things like that have always happened to me in my life. I remember one time I was at a bar and I was with friends having a drink. You know, we're young, like maybe 23, 22. And all of a sudden I heard in my head, go home. And I'm like, what did you just say? I didn't say anything. Go home. I hear it again in my head. I said, guys, I'm out of here. And I left. I went. I opened up the key to my apartment here. I forgot I left a candle on. It just caught fire to a globe that I had sat by. Had I not gone home, the whole place would have burned up. You got to listen inside. You got to follow. Yeah. A lot of us are too busy. Oh, let me see. I'll call them. Let me see my phone like that. Calm down. Well, let it come to you. It'll be okay.
Well, come back. So I was asking someone once because they say, you know, listen to the voice within. But it's like, well, you got the crazy up here. And I said, how do you know that it's the real voice and not the crazy head?
Right.
And you know what they said? Guess what they said?
They said, you'll know.
If it's from your heart.
Well, you'll know.
And it's not crazy.
Right.
Like the heart is the love and the. That peace.
It is. It is.
The head is what makes you nuts and afraid and right. And it's telling you stuff. But that's why.
You'll always know the difference. You'll always know it. When you hear it a certain way, you go, oh, wow. Hey, guys, I'm going to go home. I got to get going. Or,
wow. And who said it? I mean, where does that come from? Right?
It doesn't make a difference. It comes from bigger than us.
Right.
Right. So I'm not going to run to church. I'm not going to run to the temple. I'm thanking whoever. God, thank you. Thank you. Keep an eye on me. Keep leading me in the right direction. Keep me being an example to other people and, more importantly, to myself.
Wow. So do you have other examples of those? Those are really cool.
Oh, God, yeah. I have, but little things from, you know, making a decision. I'm arguing this way, this way, this way, which way, this, this, that. And then something comes in my head like, do it this way. And I go, oh, I never even thought of that. I usually cover everything. You know what I mean? It works out. It all
works out. Well, I was listening to something and it said, when you go, I don't know, they did some study. When you go with your instincts versus rash, like logical thinking, guess which is the better decision?
Instincts.
Yeah.
Of course.
And that's like the ones... If you act quickly, you know,
right.
you trust yourself, you do it instead of thinking about it, and then you miss your chance, right?
And then if you did it wrong, you knew that you went through your head and you convinced yourself it came from your heart.
Right. Right. Yeah.
It happens.
Thou shalt not kid thyself. Right.
Right.
Right. Right. All right. So what is your best triumph, would you say?
Oh, my best triumph is overcoming obstacles that probably wear on me still at times that crowd me in about money, you know, and like the accountant says, he goes, Bobby, asset wise, you're rich. Money you got in the bank, you're poor. I go, so what does that mean? He goes, you're fine, you know. But the poor kid from Queens, my wife wants to redo that thing. Oh, that's going to be, that's $50,000. Oh, my God. I haven't worked in that last theater I went in. See, that's one. Overcoming that. Overcoming.
And how do you overcome that? Because a lot of people have that one.
Right. I take three steps back to jump four steps ahead. I stop and I go, what more can I be doing? I'm sitting here doing this with you. That's cleaning me and makes me feel good. One, I just met you. But two, right away, I see right into you. You got a lot of the qualities that I would be at call a friend. You could see those things. And a lot of times, and you know it as well as I do, people call themselves friends. And they might be in your life for a long time. But then you see things about them. You go, wow, it did this pandemic and things because of that whole anxiety. Does this throw them off, or are they really they've been hiding and they're showing their true selves now? And I've cut out many friends, and I've said that to my daughter growing up when she was little. This my oldest daughter, who still talks like California. Oh, I really don't know what we're going to do. I don't know if we're going to go. I go, do you really speak like that? What do you mean? But I look at her and I just see, I've told her many times, I go, some of your girls that you're arguing with now, they won't be your friends in the future. You know, you'll move on. They don't want to move on. They want to stay in the same comfort place, but their mommy and daddy giving them everything they want and need. But then when it comes time, when they have to make certain decisions for themselves, they can't do it. Move on. Keep going. You keep growing.
So what does she say to that? Dad.
No, now she's seeing. She goes, remember those things you know, my friend, I don't deal with her anymore. Why not? She goes, she's just hasn't changed. She's still the same like that. I go, honey, her parents take care of her. She's got her own house. They pay for it. She doesn't have to work. She's taking pills, anxiety pills. She'd say, I go, that's what these kids are like. We weren't like that. We worked. We hustled, you know. We had goals in mind. We wanted to do better than our parents. We wanted to, they helped us. They were an example for us. And I married the right lady. So that was a great accomplishment. Something that I was, you know, and I still tell comics, and we were talking about this the other night, a comic said to me, hey, Bobby, can I ask you something? How long have you been married? I go, 30 years, 33 years. He goes, how did you know? I go, why? He goes, because I'm with this girl now and we're seeing each other. And, you know, and she, I think she's pushing to kind of get married and this and that. I go, when she walks in the door, you'll know. You'll just know. If you question it, it's not the right person. You'll just know. And he thanked me. And the next time I saw him was like a year later. And he said to me, he goes, I moved on from her. And I'm with somebody now that I'm excited to get married.
Wow.
He goes,
where did you? Yeah. Where did you meet your wife?
I met her at
Hump and Dump. No.
Believe it or not, I met her in New Jersey. I was working at comedy club.
What exit?
I was working at a comedy club. Matter of fact, it was Howard Stern's club in New Jersey. It was its opening night. They asked me if I would come in and perform. I said, sure. A girl came in. She was the manager. Her, she walked in. She put our drinks down because she wanted to come up and greet us. And her butt was this far away from my face. And I looked at it, you know, and I was like, "Oh, this girl's cute." She turned around. She had the most beautiful eyes I've ever seen. And I said, "Excuse me." And she goes, "Don't say a word to me. I heard you're a snake." I go, who told you that? She goes, that guy. I go, no, that guy's like, he's the, I know, I'm not mentioning his name because he's known. I go, that guy's a creep. He's going to try to whine. He's going to try to get in your pants. He's going to bullshit you like that. Me, I'm going to whine and dine you. I'm going to open it. I'm going to pay the checks. I'm going to open up the car door for you. But then I'm going to look to, you know, get in there. She laughed after she saw my show. She liked me. And I said, you want to go out for a drink? We went out for a drink. And about two, 3 months later, we started seeing each other. And like 3-4 years later, we got married.
Oh. Well, I love the way you talk about her in your book. I mean, it's just like, that's what everyone wants, you know?
Yeah.
Someone that has your back, that'll tell you when you're full of shit, you know,
all right.
That kind of stuff. It's really, really inspiring. And it's good to know that that can really happen. So thank you great role model.
You also have to put it out there. Put it out, maybe not with online or anything like that, but when you go out into the world, just put who you are out there. Be yourself. It'll come to you. That's how it works.
Okay, boss.
Yeah, I'm the boss. Yeah, I call her the boss.
Yeah. No, but it sounds like, and for those of you, because I guess we're in the last few minutes, but if you haven't read Bobby's book, it's called On the Inside, Witticism and Wisdomisms by...
Witticisms and Wisdomisms. It's all the lessons I've learned growing up, and I tell them, and I use them as examples in a funny way.
Yes, and it's great. And it taught me a lot. I learned a lot just from it. And the other thing is that you can go, if you want to see Bobby live, you can go to bobbycollins.com. I know your October 13th is sold out, so that's pretty cool. And then October 21st is Bethlehem, PA at the Music Fest Cafe.
Yeah.
And then October 27th is Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. They're on his website. And you can buy your tickets right there, right?
Yeah, you can buy them there. Call up the place. Do it right from there. No problem. Just enjoy life. Have fun. Let's laugh together. We got a lot to talk about.
Yes. And I think we still have a few minutes. So anything you want to say in closing? 2 minutes. Okay. So if you, looking out 5 years from now, what would you love to have made a difference with or have happened in the world or your life or anything? What would be something that you'd want to, leave, not that it's your end, but just have happen? What would be a dream come true for you?
I probably, and I struggle with this sometimes. I was on television a lot, and a lot of the things I see on television, they don't move me. And it's all about, really stupid things. And I would like to be in a position where I could be a host or something on television where I can make a difference. And I can get people would say, oh, that's that comic. That's that guy. And listen to it, like what we're doing now. And they'll go, no, you got to watch this girl. Her name's Hillary. She does a good show. She talks about things that we don't talk about that often.
Hmm. Well, thank you so much. Okay, we have 1 minute. I just, it's a good thing I didn't cry at the beginning because then my nose runs, but I just really am so grateful for you for helping me survive this first show and do it.
You were wonderful.
You've been funny. You've been inspiring. I mean, I just love your lessons, doing the right thing. You know, the obstacles that you've overcome are incredible. And again, you know, if there's anything I can do in return as a favor, please let me know. And again, bobbycollins.com. Everything is up there and go see him. He's hysterical. He's great. He's smart. And he's married for all those years. He's got to be doing something.
Thank you, Hillary. But I just want to remind you, I'm married. So stop it.
I know. That's what I'm saying. That you've been married all that time. That's what we all want. So thank you for living the life that we want to live, for being an inspiration. Yeah.
Thank you, Josh.
Thank you for listening to the Getting Real with Hillary show. We hope you're entertained and inspired. Please subscribe to Hillary's newsletter. Go to gettingrealwithhillary.com for more freedom techniques and fantastic stories and links to other great stuff. And don't forget to tune in every week on Tuesdays at 1 p.m. Eastern Time on BBS Radio TV. And let's get real. Let's get connected. Let's get inspired and create that life you love.